From NPR News in New York, this is the Bryant Park Project.
This is the Bryant Park Project from NPR News. We bring you news, information, and today, a little peek into the seamier side of libraries.
Wow, wow.
I'm Robert Smith, sitting in for Luke Burbank.
I'm Allison Stewart. It's Tuesday, November 20th. You just got me with that seamier side of libraries.
I know, you just
sorry.
The mind reels.
Wow, I did go to a different place. While we're on the subject of reading, have you heard about the Kindle?
Gee, how could you miss
How could you miss the Kindle?
This is the hot new gadget that is a replacement for a book. It's an electronic book.
Yep, and we're going to find out if this thing is going to work, because others have gone where this idea has gone before and failed miserably. We're also going to talk about the Zune. The Zune, everybody thought it was going to tank, but apparently doing fairly well as this little David of MP3 players takes on the iPod. Goliath.
Well, that's the thing, is people are waiting to see if the iPod will come out with an iPod book and just blow away this Kindle and all the other competitors.
It's going to keep on going and going. While we're on the subject of iThings, iTunes has something to boast about today. A new movie will be released exclusively on iTunes. You're not going to be able to see it in the theaters, and it's by a fairly well-known filmmaker, Ed Burns' new movie, Purple Violets, released today exclusively on iTunes. We talked to Ed Burns about why and about the movie as well.
Between Kindle and iTunes, we're going to have to watch everything in the future on a tiny computer screen. When do we get to have anything big anymore? Nothing's big anymore. We'll talk about new music coming out today and the songs you probably missed this year, including some patriotic songs. I love this. Handpicked by former Attorney General Janet Reno.
Fascinatingly random. We'll also go to Rachel Martin for today's headlines in just a moment. But first, here's the BPP's big story.
A classic crime and punishment debate is in the news again today after several new studies. The question, do harsher punishments actually reduce crime?
One report released yesterday called the U.S. prison system, quote, a costly failure, concluding that although the U.S. has 8 times more people in prison now than in 1970, there's been little impact on crime.
The study conducted by a Washington-based criminal justice research group recommends shorter sentences, alternative punishments, and more help for released inmates in order to cut the prison population in half. The study was funded by the Rosenbaum Foundation and political activist George Soros' Open Society Institute.
A Justice Department spokesman disagreed with the study's findings and recommendations, telling Reuters, quote, the United States is experiencing a 30-year low in crime, in large part due to the tough enforcement actions we've taken in the last decade, end quote, take that.
Meanwhile, according to the New York Times analysis, several recent studies by economists argue that harsher penalties do appear to reduce crime. About a dozen studies reportedly conclude that the death penalty saves lives, and that for every inmate executed, between 3 and 18 murders may be prevented.
These studies take an economic approach and cite evidence that when executions rise in an area, murder rates tend to fall. One study looked at more than 3,000 counties over 2 decades.
But there's always a but here. The New York Times cites critics who argue that economic principles don't really apply to the issue of violent crime. Several scholars say that the death penalty is applied so infrequently that its deterrent effect can't be separated from other factors.
Questions about crime and punishment. That's today's BPP Big Story. Now here's Rachel Martin with even more news.